I want to continue a little stronger on, thank you, and a little bit more detail, because the Lord will not allow me to get away from this subject of training for spiritual battles. How many of you are going to say, Pastor, it's okay that you stick with this subject for now? I wouldn't do that for any other reason, except I do believe God has encouraged me to do so. What I want to try to accomplish today, and maybe even next week, we'll see, is I want you to begin to see a picture, a portrait of an array of spiritual advantages that God has given us as Christians. Not only the spiritual armor, you know, the belt of truth, we talked about that 2 weeks ago, and the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, those are specific weapons that God gave. But I want you to see, and we began with our identity in Christ, that the fact that you have been born again by the Spirit of God gives you a tremendous advantage, because now you are taken from the domain of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Somebody say amen. We are no longer in darkness. We are no longer alienated from God. We are no longer orphans, but we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We belong to God. So right off the bat, just the ownership of your life is a powerful thing. Because when the devil tries to mess with you, he's messing with your God. He's going to have to mess with Jesus to get to you. So you've got some advantages. And then, of course, we have the Bible, and we have Jesus who prays for us. The Bible says he's our high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. We have the blood of Jesus, that we can plead the blood of Jesus. Somebody say, I plead the blood of Jesus. Because that precious blood has been shed, and that could never be undone. Somebody say amen. The enemy can never undo the finished work of the cross. When Jesus said it is finished, he meant his mission was accomplished. And no matter how much the devil hates you, no matter how much the world hates you, no matter how much your own flesh wants to rebel against you, God's mission is complete. There is a complete mission. There is a finished work. And Jesus didn't stay on the cross. He was raised to life. In Romans chapter 4, it says, he was given over to death for our sins, but he was raised to life for our justification. His resurrection meant that we were absolved from our sins, that the full price for sin was paid for. Are you with me this morning? When you're baptized in water, you go down into a symbolic watery grave, but you come up again as Christ was raised to life. You too are now raised to new spiritual life through his Holy Spirit. You have new life in Christ. So I want you to begin to see there's a whole array of spiritual weapons and assurances that we have, and advantages that we have. And we spent a lot of time talking about prayer, and I want to touch on prayer for a moment before I go on into the breastplate of righteousness and the feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. You'll notice that this, if you read the section of scripture there, that this comes at the end of the list of six other spiritual weapons. And I don't know about you. Excuse me one second here. I'm going to take some water. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for number seven, because the Bible says when God completes something, it's usually number seven. Because on the seventh day, he completed all the work of creating the earth. And on the seventh day, he sat down and he rested. Seven has often been called the divine number. So you see six other weapons that are listed, you know, starting with the belt of truth and then going all the way to the sword of the Spirit. But then it says, and pray in the Spirit. So to me, it sounds like praying in the Spirit is number seven. That's what it sounds like to me. I mean, I don't have any, a special revelation to know that, but just to me, looking at the list of scripture and the context It seems to me that praying in the Spirit is sort of like the cherry on the cake. Somebody say amen. It's like the icing on the cake. In prayer, we have the privilege to appeal to Almighty God. Think about that. Prayer is a privilege to come to the throne of God. In prayer, we remind ourselves of the power that is available to us in Jesus' name. In prayer, we can humble ourselves before God, but yet still come confidently. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. But then it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, which is it? Which is it humble or boldness? It's both. In other words, our heart attitude towards God is like, God, thank you that you're merciful to me. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve any of these privileges. But in your spirit, you come boldly because you know that through the blood of Christ, I am a blood-washed child of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have humbleness, but confidence. And through prayer, the Holy Spirit reminds us what we can pray about. In Romans 8, 26, the Holy Spirit prays through us and prays in us and prays according to the will of God. So this prayer in the Spirit is so important in the church. It's not just, prayer is not just to support the ministry of the church. Prayer is the ministry of the church. And, you know, I don't mind preaching on this because I believe this down to the very last fiber of my being. That's how strong I believe in this. I'm a product of prayer. Yeah. I told you my grandparents were praying people. Yeah. And by God's grace, he saved them and he protected them. My parents were involved in World War II in Europe, and they were spared. And my wife's dad was dying of tuberculosis when he was 26 years old. And was given 3 weeks left to live. I have his testimony that he shared in 1979. He's gone to be with Jesus now. But in 1970, I have the CD. I'm going to bring it in one day and play it for you all. He had 18 hemorrhages in 1 week. He had to be literally carried on a mat. And he went to a simple prayer meeting. He said, and on the CD, he actually says there were about 11 or 12 people there. I think he said 11 or 12. And they prayed for him. And he said he felt like a bolt of electricity went through his body. He jumped up after that prayer meeting, and he went home, felt renewed in his spirit, felt like God gave him a word of healing. He spoke to his bed. He said to his bed, for he had been in bed for 10 months, by the way. You talk about COVID. He had been in bed for 10 months. His left lung was destroyed. His other lung had a hole in it the size of a 50-cent piece, a cavity. He said to his bed, only time I'm going to see you is when I have to go to sleep. That's the only time I want to have a fellowship with my bed. Come on now, somebody say amen. Because I'm glad to be alive. And guess what? Little baby Angela was born shortly thereafter. So we are truly a product of prayer. And I want to encourage you. Jesus said these words in John 14, verses 12 and 13. Hear the word of the Lord. Very truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Now watch this. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm about to go to heaven. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. But I want you to know that you have power in prayer. I'm going to give you my name. I'm going to delegate authority to you in my name. You used to come to me for everything. Whenever you had problems, you run to Jesus. But Jesus is saying, now, you don't have to come to me. You could actually go directly to God the Father in my name. So he's like giving us a signed check. Said, here, I authorize you to fill this check in and write how much, whatever you need, and go to the bank. It's authorized. You can cash it. Somebody say amen. I will do whatever you ask in my name. Whatever you ask in my name that will bring glory to the Father. In John 15, he says the same thing. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Yeah. Yeah. He says, whoever abides in me and I in him can ask whatever they will. Yeah. You could ask for what you need. Yeah. Because we have this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yeah. But if you never pray, you're not never taking advantage of the weapon of prayer that God has given you. If you're letting the enemy subvert your prayer life, you're missing out on many, many blessings. Who knows what miracles are waiting as a result of your prayers, are waiting for somebody to pray. I think it was Billy Graham who said that heaven has a warehouse, and of course this is symbolic language. He says heaven has a warehouse full of boxes, and in those boxes are beautiful, marvelous miracles and wonderful things. He said, these are prayers that no one ever bothered to pray about. These are all the unopened boxes because nobody bothered to pray. Our prayers are powerful. In our prayers, guided by the Holy Spirit, we push back. Everybody say, we push back against the darkness. We push back against the schemes of the enemy. And we literally move the hand of God in our prayers. Peter was in prison, but the church prayed without ceasing. And as the church was praying and Peter was waiting to be executed, all of a sudden an angel came into the prison and took off his chains. Somebody say amen. Amen. Prayer moves the hand of God. Amen. I'm of the generation that has seen miracles through prayer. Yes. And my heart is burdened for our young people. Yes. That they would see the connection between fervent prayer and mighty miracles. Hallelujah. Because the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, creates powerful results. I've had experiences in my life in mass gatherings of prayer. And as far back as 1980, they had something in Washington called Washington for Jesus. How many of you remember that, 1980? Some of you weren't born yet. Come on now. But I don't know, there was something like 700,000 people or something like that there praying. And then there was another one in 1988. And then there was the Million Man Prayer March that was led by the Promise Keepers, Steve. You remember that, the Promise Keepers. And I want to just tell you an experience I had. And then recently we had this thing down at the Orange Bowl called The Send. Remember that? There were 60,000 people, mostly young people, that day. That was last year, right? Last year. In April, I think it was. I don't remember. But anyway, praying. And in each of these mass gatherings of prayer, I had these, I guess you'd call it like an encounter with God, an epiphany. Yeah. Well, all of a sudden, as the chorus of praise and prayer, and by the way, we're talking about worship and as well as prayer. That's you know, I don't want to take too much time, but prayer includes your worship as well. Worship and prayer go hand in hand. But in any case, as we began to worship and pray, the Holy Spirit, I have never, ever, ever felt the presence of God as strong as I did in those prayer times. In one case, I fell to the ground sobbing. And people came over to me and they say, Pastor, are you okay? They were worried about me. They thought I was having a breakdown or something. But would to God that we would have that kind of breakdown. Somebody say amen. A kind of breakdown where we get so close to God that we literally weep. And we realize that God is real. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's real. He's not just up in our heads. He's God who is present with us today. He is a present help in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. And so as we gather in small groups or in large groups, we have power in prayer. And America is at a very serious crossroad right now. And I can't say enough about how important it is that we pray tomorrow. We've been praying right along. I mean, on Wednesday nights, we've been praying nonstop. But there's something special, I think, about fasting, too. And Brother Lanre mentioned it before, fasting and praying. Yeah. that gets the attention of God. It gets God's attention. And I think we need to humble our hearts. I don't know what the outcome for America will be. I can tell you that men of God and women of God who are much more experienced than I am and much more close to God, like Franklin Graham, for example, and others like Tony Evans, they're saying that if the church doesn't pray, America is going down. That's how serious they're making this moment. I mean, I have never felt a moment like this in the history of my life. 71 years. I know I don't look that old. I'm sorry, Brother Joe. I said it again. But honestly, I have never felt an alarm like this. So I'm asking you to pray. And if you can't come because you're at work, take some time to pray at work. Just maybe skip lunch and find a spot. Go to your car and just pray. Brother Joe used to have prayer meeting in the postal van, right, when you were at the UPS. I mean, not UPS, USPS. There's power in prayer. Everybody say, there's power in prayer. One of the early church fathers by the name of Chrysostom, the 4th century, said, this is sort of an adaptation of his words, prayer has shut the mouth of lions, has made wars to cease. Prayer has calmed the stormy seas, cast out demons, broken the chains of death, healed incurable diseases, rescued cities from destruction, caused the sun to stand still, and brought hope to the lost and fainting heart. Those are just that's just a little tiny bit of what prayer has accomplished. So why am I saying this? Because at the end of the 6 pieces of armor, number 7 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I don't want to have it said of me that America went down the tubes while I was sleeping. Jesus was like Jesus said to his disciples, here I am interceding in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying for his life and the life of the world, literally standing between heaven and hell, between light and darkness, interceding for the sins of the world, and his disciples fell asleep. And he said to them with these sad words, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Help us, Lord. Somebody say, help us, Lord. I want to also tell you a little bit more about the armor that we've covered. We talked about the belt of truth. I'm not going to review that right now for the sake of time. But the next piece is the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and then with the breastplate of righteousness in place. The purpose of the soldier's breastplate was to protect the heart and vital organs of the upper body. I love that this is called the breastplate of righteousness. Again, you know, it's an actual physical thing that protects you from arrows flying at you or from a sword striking you in the chest. The actual soldier with a physical, you know, a metal breastplate is protected. But he's saying that this is the breastplate of righteousness. Yes. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that what we have as believers in Christ, part of our arsenal is a righteousness that is not our own. A righteousness which is by faith in the Lord's work, in Jesus' work, from first to last by faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, in the gospel, a righteousness is revealed that is by faith from first to last. We are made righteous. Somebody say, we are made righteous through the blood of Christ. So in a sense, it's the breastplate of his righteousness. So when the devil, who's, by the way, one of his nicknames is the accuser of the brethren. So, you know, one of the things in battle you need to understand is you need to understand the enemy that you're facing and know your enemy. And one of his names is the accuser. And so he tries to constantly remind us of our shortcomings, constantly make us think we're unworthy, constantly make us feel like we're failures, constantly make us feel like we can never measure up. I could never be a strong Christian. Let me just tell you a newsflash right now. You were never meant to be a Christian by yourself. You can only be a Christian with Jesus. You're not going to be a Christian for Jesus. You're going to be a Christian with Jesus in your life, with him in the driver's seat. Somebody say amen. The breastplate of righteousness, not our righteousness. Romans 4:25, I quoted it before. Jesus was given over to die because of our sins and raised back to life to prove that we have been made right with God. His righteousness gives us a sense of confidence and authority when we stand before God. So when I pray, I say things like this. I don't know about you, how you do spiritual warfare prayers, but I'll give you a little sample. Lord, I'm reminded as I pray, Lord, that you paid the full price for my sins. I'm reminded as I kneel here, Lord, that you shed your precious blood. And there is nothing more precious in the whole universe than the blood of Jesus. I have not been redeemed by corruptible things such as silver or gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. I thank you, Lord, that my sins are covered. I don't come here in prayer before you, Lord, because I'm better than anybody else. I don't come to you in prayer, Lord, because of my performance, because I'm my perfection, Lord. I come to you because of your righteous blood. I come to you, Lord, because of your finished work on the cross. And I have boldness in my heart because of what you did, Lord. My confidence is not in myself. My confidence is in how much you love me. Hallelujah. For we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, that understanding these things gives you confidence when you pray. That's why I'm including this in the subject of spiritual warfare. Because knowing that you are made righteous through Christ gives you an advantage. Somebody say, I have an advantage. It gives you a sense of confidence, knowing that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If you're here this morning, you say, God, there's stuff in my past, oh Lord, that I just can't seem to get out of my head, Lord. I want to just encourage you this morning to know that if we confess our sins, we can be sure that he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. He cleanses us. And he shuts the door. And I just want to advise you, don't open the door back up. Keep the door shut. You know, Donna and I got a kick out of this one time. I was singing that song, Shut the Door, Keep Out the Devil. And she said, that's a song from the islands, right? Shut the door, keep out the devil, keep the devil in the night. Yeah. We're not part of the darkness. We're part of the light. Yeah. Hallelujah. That rhymes. Hallelujah. We are made righteous through the blood of Christ. We are justified. Not by works. Yeah. We can give, money to the poor. We can do a lot of things. But the real reason we have confidence this morning is because God saved a sinner such as I. Hallelujah. God did for me what nobody else could do. He declared me not guilty. Hallelujah. And the last one, I'm going to close with this today, is that our feet be ready to bring the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:15 says, and let your feet be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This is talking about the soldier's footwear. The soldier would have sandals or boots or whatever. And the purpose of good footwear was that the soldier could move quickly. And you can imagine the advantage of going against an army that was barefoot compared to an army that had good boots, good sandals or whatever they wore. So having shoes that fit you correctly, as a matter of fact, those of you who were in the service, I remember somebody telling me in the military service, they really made sure your shoes fit you well, because they knew that if a soldier had started to get calluses or blisters on his feet, he was basically out of commission. Somebody say amen. So the army want to make sure you get good boots. And in the same way, we have our feet spiritually shod, the Bible says, or equipped with the sandals or the footwear of peace. Yeah. means that wherever we go, we bring a message not of division, not of war, but a message of peace. Hallelujah. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Somebody say amen. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons and daughters of God. So when you talk to your neighbors about, you know, the political climate, we are not here to be divisive. Somebody say amen. We are not here to bring a message of judgment. We are not here to find arguments. We're not here to divide. We are here to bring a message of peace. Blessed is he who brings the gospel of peace. Isaiah said, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring this message of peace. Good tidings. Aren't you glad that God gave us good news to bring? Good news. Wherever you go, Jesus said to his disciples, speak to that house. If someone invites you in, invite the man of peace. Wherever you go, he sent them out. In Luke chapter 10, I believe it is. He sent them out two by two. He says, wherever you go, declare the man of peace. Declare peace in that home. And if their heart is sincere, that the peace of God will be attracted to their heart. So if you have a neighbor that you love and you're praying for and you want to make an appeal to, speak to them in the peace and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will come into that neighbor's house. Somebody say amen. Our feet shod with the preparation, ready to bring the message of peace. We have the message the world needs. Somebody say amen. Through the gospel, every troubled heart can find peace with God. No matter what the trouble is. What the trouble is. There have been murderers, drug dealers, prostitutes, some really bad people, mobsters, who have found salvation and peace through the gospel of Jesus Christ. For in the gospel of Jesus Christ, a righteousness and a peace is revealed that is by faith in Christ. It's not based on my goodness. It's not based on my performance. It's a gift. Somebody say, it's a gift. I want to close with this. I don't know what the outcome will be on Tuesday, but regardless of the outcome, pretty much you could say half of the country is going to be disappointed. Not only disappointed, some of them may be rioting in the streets. But here's a word for the church. And this afternoon, Pastor Angela is going to join other Assembly of God pastors around the country and pray. I pray that we would have the ability, through the grace of God, to look at people who differ from us and look at people who may actually despise us and love them and not resent them. One of the things the world needs to see right now is genuine love. And I want to say this for those who are watching. If you walk into this church and you have a different lifestyle, you have a different set of beliefs, you are not going to be judged by us. You're going to be loved at this church. I don't care if you come in here with spiked neon green hair or whatever lifestyle you follow. This church stands for redemption. This church stands for love. It stands for forgiveness. It stands for mercy. It's not like some of the religions in the world where if you don't agree with them, they shoot you. I'm glad I didn't join that religion. Or if you change your mind, they blind you or throw salt in your eyes or they cut your head off. I mean, there's a lot of crazy things done in the name of religion. But aren't you glad today that our religion is one of love and peace and reconciliation? No matter what your background, no matter where you've come from, you can find a new life in Jesus Christ. Let the church say amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray that you will equip us in the times that are ahead, Lord. that we would be instruments of your love and peace. Put your hand on your heart. Lord, that we would be instruments, ambassadors for Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, help us to be messengers of peace and joy and reconciliation. And not at the cost of our beliefs or our faith, Lord, because the truth of God is the truth of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. Help us to speak the truth in love, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just wait on God for a moment. Just wait on God for a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that a spirit of revival will come to the church. I wish there was someone who would agree with me right now. What this country needs is a revival. It needs a spiritual awakening, Lord. Awaken our hearts. Let it start in the church. Let it start in the church. Put your hand up. Let it start in the church, Lord. Let the church be alive, Lord. Let the church enter its finest hour. Let the church be a salt and a light in this world, O God. Let us be a refuge for the lost, Lord. Let us be a healing place for the brokenhearted, Lord. Let there be manifestations of the gifts and the anointing of the Holy Spirit for those who have ears and eyes to see, Lord. I pray that you will show yourself mighty on behalf of those whose hearts are right towards you, Lord. Pour out your spirit in this place. Would someone please intercede with me right now? I want to see Catalyst be a healing place, a healthy church. Somebody please pray with me. A healthy church, Lord, where young people can hear the call of God, where married couples can be reconciled and find the spiritual basis for a healthy marriage. For the backslider to come back to Jesus. For the person who feels like the worst sinner to find new hope in Jesus Christ. I want to see young people called to the ministry like I was when I was 17, Lord, and even younger, Lord. I want this church to be an attractive church because your love is here. Your presence is here. And if you agree with all of that, say amen. All right, let's sing it now, Brother Joe. I'll say yes, Lord. Go ahead, sing it out, Brother Joe.
I'll say yes to your will, Lord. I'll say yes.
He leads me where
he leads me.
I will go.
I will go.
I'll say yes, Lord.
I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes.
Pastor Angela, come on up. Sing it again, Brother Joe.
I'll say yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'll say yes to
Jesus. Hallelujah, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, let my heart be changed, O God. Change my heart, O God. Change my thinking, Lord. Help me to not just be a hearer, but a doer of the word. I'm going to ask Reverend Andrew to come up and dismiss in prayer. this morning. God be with you. We will be here tomorrow at 11:30. Those of you who can join us. And then again tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Let us be in prayer. Let us be fervent and urgent in our intercessions. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Father, we are so grateful to you. We have come into your house and gather in your name to worship you and to honor you, O Lord. In this critical time, O Father, that we are living in, Lord, we recognize that we would not look nowhere else. We would not look to the east nor to the west, but we will look to heaven from whence cometh our help. We know our help cometh from the Lord. Lord, even in this great pandemic and all that is happening in our country, Lord, we recognize that we will not be shaken. You got us, O Father. And we are blessed, O Father, beyond description. So, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the anointing in this house, Lord. That, Lord, that we, O Father, will live upon it. We will ponder upon it. We will, oh, Father, go and tell about your wonderful name, Jesus. Help us not, oh, God, to fail, that we will recognize the great commission, oh, Father, to launch out into the deep, oh, God, and tell about our great Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, help us, oh, Father, that we can recognize this message this morning, oh, Father, that we can pray. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. Lord, that we can cry out, Abba, Father, to you, and knowing that by no means you will cast us out. You are looking for someone that will stand in the gap and give you honor and glory. So, Father, as we dismiss this service, we ask, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the full fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, be with us now and forevermore as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody, God bless you.
Bless you, my brother.
Bless you.
Good word. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you.